If you lived through the 60s, as I did, you may remember a simple black and white button that was often seen pinned to t-shirts and blue jean jackets at sit-ins, demonstrations, or just in the halls of the local high school. It read, "Question authority." In today's gospel, the question authority button is not pinned on the clothes of young rebels, but on the robes of the authorities in the temple, the chief priests and the elders, who asked Jesus, "Who gave you the authority to do these things?" What things exactly are the chief priests talking about? What has Jesus done that has them questioning by whose authority? In moving from last Sunday's lesson to today's, we skipped over a few important passages. The first thing that concerned them was Jesus's festive entrance into Jerusalem the day before, riding a donkey, allowing his followers to hail him as the Messiah, the Son of David, creating a scene in the temple by turning over the tables of the money changers, and then welcoming all those people who flocked to him, including the blind and the lame, the very people prohibited from entering the temple, and instead of showing them the door, healing them. And finally, showing up to teach in the temple when he didn't have any of the proper credentials. These are the things that Jesus did. But rather than being curious or self-reflective or in awe, the priests and the elders are fearful and angry because Jesus' actions are calling into question their own authority. So they ask, "Who gave you the authority to do these things?" It's not a sincere question, of course, but a trap meant to ensnare Jesus. If he says his authority is from God, which is the truth, he's liable both for blasphemy with the religious authorities and for sedition, inciting rebellion with the Roman authorities. On the other hand, if Jesus says he's acting on human authority, well, that would be a lie. So Jesus says he will answer their question if they will answer his, namely, was John the Baptist's authority from God, or was it of human origin? The chief priests are now caught in their own trap. If they say from God, they have to explain why they didn't believe John. On the other hand, they don't want to say John's authority was merely human, because they're afraid the people who believed John to be a prophet sent by God, well, they're afraid the people will turn against them. So they answer, "We don't know." And since they don't answer Jesus' question, he's not obliged to answer theirs. But Jesus isn't finished. He tells them a parable about two sons who were ordered by their father to go work in the vineyard. The first one said, "Forget it, Dad," but later changed his mind and went to work. The second one said, "Yes, Father," but never followed through. Jesus asks the chief priests and elders, "Which son did the will of the father?" Of course, they answer, "The first one," which allows Jesus to interpret the parable this way. The common people, the prostitutes and the tax collectors, are like the first son. By pursuing their occupations, they disregard the commands of God. And yet, when confronted by the word of John the Baptist, they change their minds. They repent. They go to work in the vineyard. But the chief priests and elders who profess to live by God's law, refused to hear God's living word spoken by his living prophet. They say all the right things, but they don't actually work in the Father's vineyard. And they don't understand the nature of God's authority. During the 60s, a church in the South had an unusual visitor one Sunday morning. He was a young man with long hair and a beard. He walked into church wearing cut-off jeans, a t-shirt, and sandals. Very unusual church attire in the 1960s. He clearly didn't know exactly what to do, but he took a pew bulletin from an usher and he made his way down the main aisle to the front of the church. And there were many worried looks passing between members of the congregation as he sat down, not in a pew, but on the floor in front of the pulpit. Finally, a couple people deputized themselves and sought out the head usher. They pleaded, "You've got to do something about that man." Dutifully, the head usher, an elegant elderly gentleman who walked with a cane, hobbled down the center aisle to where the young man was sitting. At that point, about half the people in the congregation were thinking, "Oh, good." And the other half were thinking, "Uh-oh." When the usher reached the young man, he leaned over to ask him a question. The young man nodded in response. Then the usher very carefully sat down on the floor beside him and stayed there until the service was over. God's authority doesn't empower haughtiness or privilege. It's not about flexing your muscles or flashing your credentials. It's a good thing to question authority, to watch how those in power wield it. Watch for those who exercise mercy rather than flex their muscles. Look for those who are humble, not haughty, and seek out those motivated by pity rather than privilege. For in them you will see the mind of Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Amen.